Good morning. There we go. It's good to be with y'all today. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6. And the second half of that chapter will be our text for our lesson today. Arpoka grew up at Eastside in Midwest City, where I work now and where I grew up as well. I've taken some classes with Chris up at Oklahoma Christian and heard him speak at some youth rallies. Lindsay, formerly Snow, now Clower, and her husband Steve were some of my wife and mine's best friends when we lived in Memphis. And I once spent the night in Orlando, Florida, which is where the Seminoles were from. So I feel like I have so much in common with y'all already. We, you know, have so many ties there together. In Galatians 6, at the end of the letter, Paul's going to finish up what he's been saying and wrap up his argument that he's been going on with through the prior six chapters. And in verse 11, and we'll be reading 11 through 18, he's going to start off and say, "See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen." I don't know about you, but when I get a letter from someone, especially an institution or a church or a fundraiser thing, the first thing I look at is to see whether they signed their name at the end. Is it a stamp? Is it printed with the printer? Or do they take time to actually write it themselves? Kate and I recently are involved in trying to do something with Oklahoma Christian. And they said, "We want you to send out this letter to the people who want to participate, and we want you to then sign all the letters by hand and put a little personal greeting if you know the people, so that the people will feel like it's personalized." We said, "Great, how many people are you talking about?" And they said, "Only 750. So we had this stack of 750 letters and had this little assembly line, and we got to write our names that many times to personalize these letters and let the people know, you know, add a little touch to it and say, we want to add a little humanity to it and say, this is from us, and we want you to kind of pay special attention to what we said and what's here in this letter. And at the end of Galatians, Paul's been dictating the whole letter to someone else. And yet when he gets to verse 11 of chapter 6, he decides to take over himself. It's as though he said, "I really want to make my point now. I really want to drive it home. And it's not enough for me to dictate or tell someone else what to say and have him write it down." I can see kind of Paul sitting down at the desk, moving the other guy aside and saying, "I'm going to write this now." And Paul says, "I'm writing these letters. They're large letters. They're in my own hand. And I want you to know from my own hand that I'm writing this personally to really drive this point home. I want you to really know that this is so important to me and so key to what I've been trying to say to you that I'm going to write it myself. I'm going to make a point to tell you that." This is the only time in all Paul's letters that he tells people, "I'm writing this with my own hand so that you'll know how important and how significant that it is." And Paul's going to talk about people that are boasting in things that they've done and boasting in things that have to do with the flesh and boasting in marks that they have on their body. And he's critiquing those who are going to the Galatian church and trying to compel circumcision. And Paul's argument, if you're familiar with Galatians, is there's this group that has come in, and they're trying to tell these Galatian Christians, what God has done through Christ isn't enough, and you need to do what God has had people do all the way back since Genesis 15 with Abraham, and you need to be circumcised. And you need to make sure that that's a part of what you do in order to please God. And that by doing that and by submitting to that, you'll be doing the things that God wants you to do. Paul says, you know, the real issue is about who are the heirs of Abraham. And his whole argument through Galatians has been, it's not about circumcision, but it's going to be about living by faith. Living by faith as Abraham lived by faith and trusting God as Abraham trusted God, and doing the things that God wants you to do. And Paul says that these people, by encouraging the Galatian church to be circumcised, are trying to avoid persecution for the cross of Christ. And in doing that, they're trying to get away from some of the tougher, more difficult aspects and the persecution that can come and does come, in Paul's case, to those that follow Christ. And Paul says they're really, by doing this, are trying to get an easy way out and trying to avoid what Christ has done, and really taking that to heart. And Paul says the good news of what God has done, the core of the gospel, God's purpose since Abraham and calling him forth and saying, I'll bless all nations through you, is to create a people and to create a way that everyone can be included in the family of God, everyone can be a part of the children of God, and everyone can be included in the blessings of God through Abraham, through what God has done through Christ. And Paul makes the point that these people who are trying to boast about your flesh, as he says in verse 13, are trying to show that they are apart from the world. But he says, in doing that, they show that really they're just a part of the world. And they have missed the point of what it means to be a part of the family of God. They're not concerned about the ethical matters of the law. They're concerned about knives and body parts and ceremonies. Paul says these people have really missed the point because of their continual compulsion and their efforts to get you to be circumcised, as he talks about to the congregation here. And Paul writes this not to be crude, but to show the Galatian church how out of touch his opponents are with the life that Christ calls people to live. And at the end of chapter 5, in a passage that's familiar to most Christians, Paul will talk about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. And the works of the flesh have to do with things that oppose God, and things that cause enmity and cause strife and cause division. And Paul says, you know, there are people that live that way. God wants us to live by the Spirit. And in living by the Spirit, he lists love, joy, peace, patience, and the other things that characterize the lives of people that are in Christ. And Paul says, these people here, these opponents of mine, as we'll mention there in verses 12 and 13, are people that are trying to boast in the flesh. They're trying to do things that coincide with the flesh, and in so doing, they're really missing what it means to live by the Spirit. So he's going to play off of that flesh and spirit thing that he had going there at the end of chapter 5 and say, these people are really concerned about the body, but not really concerned about what it means to live through Christ. And I can hear you saying, perhaps, well, circumcision, smircumcision, what does that mean? That's not really something that we're concerned with. We can see Paul's point, and we can understand that, but that's not really an issue for us today. I don't know that for a fact here at Seminole. I know at Eastside we're not terribly concerned with circumcision and things like that, and Chris didn't mention it in asking me to come speak. So I'm pretty sure that's not something that we're dealing with. It's not a concern of ours, and yet it is the major point of Galatians. Paul's going to say, don't do that. Don't submit to that. Don't give in to these people that are compelling circumcision for a moment. But Paul's point, while it's about that, goes much deeper. And it's something that, at its heart, touches all of us, I think, and really causes us to realize the reality and the core of what it means to follow Christ. Paul's point is this. It's that any time we put undue emphasis on something that we do, we are in danger of misunderstanding what it means to live in the Spirit. Anytime something that we do becomes kind of a focal point or receives emphasis that it's not supposed to have, then Paul's notion here in Galatians is that we've really misunderstood what it means to live by faith and to follow Christ. One of my concerns, having grown up in the churches of Christ and loving them and being a part of them today, is that a lot of our brethren spend times on things that, in my mind and in reading Galatians here, especially at the end, kind of border on the circumcision category. And a lot of efforts and things are put into defending items that receive undue emphasis in the grand scheme of how God wants us to live through Christ. Growing up in high school, if people ask, where do you go to church? I'd always say, well, I go to the Eastside Church of Christ, just around the corner. And they'd inevitably say one of two things. They'd either ignore me or say, oh yeah, you are the people that don't believe in music and think you're the only ones going to heaven. And if I thought they cared, I'd say, well, actually, we do believe in music. That's actually a big part of what we do. We just have some disagreements about how that should be worked out. But And we're pretty big on baptism and all those things. And those things are very important and things that we need to emphasize and work on. But I've never had someone say to me, oh yeah, you're the church that's concerned about being a new creation. You're people that are so dedicated to being holy that that permeates your life and what you do. And we know you and we know your group by how you live. There's always a thing or two that we emphasize that these are things that we have to do. And without discounting the things that we do, because they are important and they're very necessary, the core of being a Christian, Paul will say, is being a new creation. And it's letting the Spirit live in us and work through us. Boasting comes about, Paul says, not in what we've done, but in what God has done through Christ. Paul says it's all about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I never boast in anything, verse 14, except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul can't get away from emphasizing the cross. If you look especially at the beginning of all of his letters, he'll say something about what God has done through Christ on the cross. And that permeates his thought. And as you go throughout the rest of the letters, in all of them, there's this thread where Paul will say, because of the cross, because of what God has done, this is who we are. This is how we are to be. This is how we're to think and how we're to relate to other people, because of what God has done in the cross. And Paul will say, through the cross, the world has been crucified to me. And Paul will say, the world stands for the things of the world, for people that characterize themselves by the world, for the status symbols of the world, for things that people in the world hold valuable. Paul says, I've been crucified to all that. None of that means anything to me anymore. The world has been crucified. And the way Paul uses the language here, it's an ongoing event. It's not something that just happened at one time, but it's something that happens and has continuing consequences. Paul's life, he says, is characterized by this continual desire to crucify and to kill and to put away with the things of the world. And Paul will say circumcision, in his case, is one of these things of the world. It's a mark of the flesh. It's something these people are holding on to say, God loves us and God wants us to do this. And Paul says, look to the cross and look at what Christ has done through the cross. What defines, impresses, and constitutes the world, Paul says, is gone. It's been nailed. The world has been crucified to me. Paul's saying, I have been crucified to the world. I'm trying to get rid of those things in my life that are characterized by the world, by the things of the world, the powers of the world, and the people of the world. Paul says, that's not a part of who I am anymore. Earlier in Galatians 2:20, Paul will say, I've been crucified with Christ. You know, nevertheless, I live. But it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. Paul will say, when Christ died, I was also crucified. The same death that Christ went through, I have gone through to myself so that I might live to him. I remember growing up, I actually grew up in Australia as part of a mission team that my parents were on. We lived there for 12 years, and I always felt, for no reason that I know of, but always felt this kind of sense of competition between the different families that were there working on the team. That's just something I kind of made up, and but always kind of felt like our family had to do real well and work hard. I remember we were walking out of a baptism once that we'd had at someone's pool. We didn't have a baptistry. And on the way home, I said to Mom, hey, there's another one for Dad. Kind of like, you know, Dad gets to chalk one up in his column. And Mom looked at me kind of with a strange look and said, no, that's another one for God. I kind of nodded and thought, yeah, it's one for God, but kind of like with an assist to Dad. And in my mind, still had kind of this notion that it's what people do, it's keeping score, it's tallies, it's things like that. And Paul says, I've been crucified to all that. I've been crucified to worldly thoughts, to worldly things, to worldly categories. All that's been done away with. It's just about the cross of Christ. And it's really hard to crucify ourselves and to be dead to the world and to put away the things of the world, because that means we no longer receive the credit. And you may not be this way. I enjoy credit, you know, at times. I like to feel like what I'm doing is somewhat significant or means something to people. And yet Paul says, I want nothing to do with any of that. I want to make sure that I boast in nothing except the cross of Christ. The cross is going to define who I am, what I talk about, where I'm going, and show me where I've been. Paul will say, for it's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It's about being a new creation. When we become Christians, it's not like our sin odometer is reset. It's not as though, you know, we've been sinning our lives and the little wheels have been going along, and then we get to the point where God forgives us and we can hit the little reset button and we go back to zero. And then we drive a little more and sin a little more and the numbers go up, and then we ask for forgiveness. We can hit the little sin odometer reset button and it goes back to zero. Paul says we're new creations. We're new people. We're to have nothing to do with who we were before and what we were before. It's not about getting reset. It's about being new people. It's about being this new creation. And I like to challenge you, and I try to do this myself, to say, what is in my life, what is it I can think of that God is doing to show that a new creation has taken place? What is it I can look at in my life and point to in my life to say, you know, as I see God doing these things, as I see God working that way, as I see myself acting this certain way, I can see that a new creation has taken place. I can see that God is working in me. I can see that it's not about worldly categories of things that I may do or not do or think or not think, but it's about what God has done and the new creation that has taken place. And if there's areas that don't come up, what is it I can do and what is it I can think about to ensure that all aspects of my life are a new creation? That everything I do and think and am becomes what God wants it to be. And Paul will say, again, don't think of terms of circumcision and uncircumcision, of categories of things you should do, and other issues that he deals with in chapter 2. Think about being a new creation. Think about what God is wanting to do in recreating the world. One of the things I've noticed, and I was a youth minister for a while, and at a lot of youth rallies, the emphasis in talking to the kids was trying to get them to act a certain way. And so you hear a lot of talks about teens need to wear modest clothing, you need to make sure you don't drink alcohol, and you need to avoid lust. You know, and the way I read Paul in the talk of new creation, you can wear modest clothes, not drink, and avoid lust, and just be a warm, sober virgin, but miss being a Christian. You can do the things that God would want you to do as part of a new creation, but if the new creation hasn't taken hold, if it hasn't changed who you are, if it hasn't allowed God and His work and His Spirit to work through you, then you're not doing and being what God wants you to do and wants you to be. Without discounting the morality, which is terribly, terribly important in how we live and especially how we relate to the world, Paul says it's not about those things without being a new creation. It's about who we are and about what God is wanting to do in us. And that's what Paul is going to emphasize time and time again. Not just about how you treat your neighbor, it's about how you treat your neighbor because you're a new creation. It's not just about how we relate as a church, it's about how we relate as a church because we're a collection of people that are new creations. Paul's going to go back to that time and time again to say, it's what God is doing in us, and it's what God wants to do in us that forms the basis for who we are and our identity as children of His. Paul says, for all who follow this rule, verse 16, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. And one of Paul's major arguments in Galatians is going to be that Israel used to be the people that were defined by circumcision as children of Abraham. Now Israel are the people that are children of God. It's the collection of people that are new creations. It's the people that have decided to be crucified with Christ, to put away themselves, put away the world, the things of the world, and the categories of the world, and to decide, I am going to follow Christ and boast in nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul closes by saying that we are Israel. The church is the Israel of God, the people of God. We are the people through whom God's blessing, God's promise, and God's plan is being unfolded. Verse 17, Paul says, from now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. A few years ago, there was a movie that came out called Stigmata. And the stigmata is a phenomena in especially the Catholic Church, where people receive just kind of marks mystically on their body. And I have a lot of skepticism about that, but there's a movie that came out, and Catholics throughout the centuries have talked about people that receive the marks of Jesus on them. And Paul says here, you guys are talking about marks and knives and circumcision and things to do with the flesh. If we're really going to have to talk about the flesh, let me tell you what it's done to me. Paul is saying, I have physical scars on my body from being beaten, from being persecuted, for being a new creation. And look what it's done to me. You're trying to avoid these things, this little simple act. I've gone through a lot of physical pain, suffering, and have physical scars on my flesh, the stigmata, the marks of Christ, for following him. If we're going to talk about marks in the body, Paul say, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what it really means to follow Christ and the persecution that can follow when you fully decide to say, I am going to be a new creation. I'm going to be crucified to the world and have the world be crucified to me. So Paul's going to make a strong distinction there between himself and the marks on his body and these other insignificant worldly marks that his opponents are trying to get across. Paul closes by saying, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits, brothers and sisters. Amen. And in a book where Paul has been so riled up, so angry at times, so mad at what these people are trying to do with the church, he's going to close by saying, I want God's grace to be upon you and on your spirits. Brothers, even though you're confused, even though you're tempted to follow the world, even though you're about to get caught up in these inappropriate categories and thoughts and things, I want God's grace to be upon you. God's grace that came about through the cross. The cross that is the thing that I boast about, Paul will say, and nothing else. The cross that defines my life, the cross that makes me who I am, the cross that has caused these scars and these marks on my body, I want that grace to be with you and with all of the people around you. One of the things that I do in my life sometimes, and I kind of personalize this because it may not be true of you, but I'm sure it's true for some of you at least, is something will happen or I'll behave in a way that I'm not really proud of, and then in the back of my mind, or sometimes I'll even say it out loud, I'll say, well, that's just who I am. You know, that's how I've been the last 28 years. That's part of my makeup, part of my nature. And Paul would have nothing to do with something like that. Paul says that's not what being a new creation is about. It's not what being a Christian is about. It's about always trying to be people that are conformed to the cross, people that are continually trying to crucify themselves to the world and the world to themselves in order that they may be fully the people that God wants them to be. And any excuses we have, like that's who I am or that's how I've been or that's what I'm used to, Paul says that misses what it means to be crucified to the world and to boast in nothing but the cross. God gives us grace so we can be new creations and live lives characterized by faith, love, and service in a gracious and humbling response to what he's done through the cross. There's a man in London named Lindsay Clegg. Lindsay was a businessman trying to sell an abandoned building. And the building was in really poor shape. And a prospective buyer came by, and he was apologizing, Mr. Clegg was, about the land. And he said, you know, we have this location here. It's a good location, but we're sorry about the building. I'm going to have some guys come in later on. We're going to put new windows on it, replace the door, take out the weeds from the parking lot. And the guy said, that's okay. When I come and buy this from you, I don't actually want the building. I'm going to destroy the building and build something new. What I actually want is the site. I want the location. And when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's exactly what God wants in our lives. He wants the location so that he can build his new creation. He can create something new. He can use his spirit. He can use his energy. He can use our submission to mold us into the people that he wants us to be. So Paul's going to get so riled up because these people are missing what it means to be Christians. Paul says they're so caught up in the flesh and they're so caught up in these worldly categories. And what they really need to be caught up with is the cross of Christ, following him, and crucifying themselves to the world, and having the world crucified to them. Our invitation today is as it is whenever we meet, and it's to offer people the opportunity to become new creations. And that's all God's work. As Paul says at the end of chapter 3 of Galatians, all of us who have been baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. And it's being baptized that causes this new creation. It's this death to who we were, this death to how we used to think and be and act, and creates a new life in us and allows us to be the people that God wants us to be. And if you are a Christian, God wants his new creation to permeate who you are. He wants that to affect how you live, how you treat other people, and how you think. And if we can help you in anything, either to become a new creation or to better become a new creation in your daily lives, we'll give you that opportunity as you stand and as we're led in our song.